Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Happy Christmas.
It's,
I believe it's a good thing for us as Christian people to just have this hour or so together, just to worship and praise God and to give him thanks for the precious, unspeakable gift of his Son. It says in Luke chapter 2 that when Jesus was taken to the temple on the eighth day following his birth, an older lady by the name of Anna saw him, and she knew by a revelation of the Holy Spirit that he was the Christ of God. And it says that the first thing she did was thank God, to thank God for him. And so should we. If we know him, if we by a revelation of the Holy Spirit have come to know him as our personal Saviour, then it's right that we give thanks to God. So let's stand together, shall we? And let's sing that great carol together. Oh, come all ye faithful. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's take our seats. And speaking of Scripture, let's turn to some Scriptures this morning. First of all, Luke chapter 2. I'm certain that most of us, if not all of us, will have read or heard these passages, these scriptures, many times in our lives. They say familiarity breeds contempt, but I hope that's never true when it comes to the Word of God. You can't, in my opinion, you cannot read or hear enough of the Word of God. And more and more we need to have the precious truth of the Word of God to be, as it were, indelibly stamped on our minds and on our hearts, so that we're absolutely convinced of what the truth is. Because I think Paul's just praying there, there is today perhaps more, certainly equal to any generation, challenges as to the truth and reliability of the Word of God. Bound to be the case. If the enemy wants to do anything, it's sow doubt in people's minds, isn't it? And you only got to go back to the garden to see that, to the Garden of Eden. And so he is at work today trying to do that. You can't get enough of the Word of God in your life, friends, for all sorts of reasons. So I'm not making any apologies for reading all this again. And I'm turning to Luke chapter 2. And it says, "It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governor in Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marvelled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And then in Matthew chapter 2, it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he set forth and put to death all the male children who were born in Bethlehem, and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more. Well, let's stand to our feet, shall we, and let's sing our next hymn together.
Well, I can see some people have got some gifts today, I think. See a few, is there any a Christmas jersey over there? Maybe. Some smart looking people here this morning. I bet nobody's got a pair of socks as good as mine though. Huh? Think about that. So, Christmas, gifts and all that. So, here's a gift a very kind person gave to me and Gillian this Christmas. A box of Quality Street. And you know, when I opened that, I was reminded, and I don't know how far I'm going back here, whether it's recent or a long time ago, which probably shows how my mind works, or how old I'm getting. But Quality Street used to have a slogan, and the slogan was, made for sharing. Anybody remember that? Quality Street, made for sharing. And so when I opened this wrapping paper and took this out, I was surprised to find that it doesn't say made for sharing anymore. It says, now the new slogan is, over 75 years of magic moments. Over 75 years of magic moments. So later on, I think I might have a few magic moments later on today. In fact, why wait? Might as well have one now, eh? Might as well have a magic moment now. So here I go. What have we got here? This one looks a nice one. Red, my favourite colour. You can get your own. Because they're not made for sharing anymore, are they? Well, for magic moment. Oh, but you can't keep them to yourself, can you? I do want some magic moments later on. So yeah, made for sharing. So we'll pop those there for now. Okay, so in the passages that I've just read from the Bible, we read of several people or several groups of people to whom it was revealed that God's gift of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, had been born. Several people to whom that was revealed, and we read of the various kind of responses or reactions that different people made to that revelation. Now I say revelation because, of course, when you read that passage, and I'm sure you all will again sometime over the next few days, you'll realise that not everybody found out in exactly the same way. To some it was announced by angels, to others the revelation came in a different kind of a way. But to these people who I'm briefly going to discuss this morning, it was revealed to them by God's Holy Spirit through some means or another that the Saviour had been born. So let's just think about a few of these. First of all, there were these shepherds. And the good news of the Saviour's birth, of course, was revealed to these shepherds by an angel. It says there in verse 9, "Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people.'" And we were preaching on that passage, weren't we, last Sunday evening. What was their response? What was the response of these shepherds when they heard the good news? Well, it tells us two things particular. It says that they went to see for themselves. That's the first thing. They said amongst themselves, let's go and see this thing that has come to pass. And they went and they sorted out for themselves. They went and they looked according to the instructions they'd been given by the angel, and they sought him out for themselves. And then it tells us that after that, they went out and they told everyone who would listen that the Saviour had been born. In fact, They told everybody they could. I dare say some listened and some didn't. But they told everyone who would listen that the Saviour had been born. Which brings me to the second group of people we read about in Luke chapter 2. In this context. And that is those to whom the good news was told by the shepherds. Those people who the shepherds told. What was their response? It says in verse 17, they marvelled at the things they were told. They marvelled. That means they were filled with wonder. The message of the birth of Christ filled them with wonder, and they marvelled. Next, we read about Mary. Mary, the mother of Christ. Now, of course, it had been revealed to Mary some 9 months previous to this that she was the one chosen by God to give birth to his son, and that they were to call his name Jesus, and this would be a miracle of God. This child would be conceived by the Holy Ghost. So she knew 9 months at least before this. But what I want to draw your attention to here this morning is what it says about Mary's reaction, Mary's response at this particular time after the shepherds had been. And what it says about Mary, it says that she pondered these things in her heart. And to ponder means to think thoroughly and deeply about something. Mary thought thoroughly and deeply about these things. And then we read about the response of this old man by the name of Simeon. This is some weeks later, when at the time of Mary's purification, they've taken the child Jesus to Jerusalem to do for him according to the law of Moses. And this is an old man by the name of Simeon, and it had been revealed to him that he wouldn't die until he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And when Mary and Joseph came in with the child Jesus, he understood by a revelation of the Holy Spirit that this child was the Lord's Christ. What was Simeon's response when he heard from the Holy Spirit that this was the Lord's Christ finally born? Well, effectively, what Simeon said was, now I can die happy. You know, put into the kind of 21st century Bolton vernacular. That's really what Simeon was saying. I could die happy now because I've seen the Lord's Christ. That which I'd seen with the eye of faith, that which I'd understood from the scriptures that I've read, now I've seen with my own eyes. Now God's word to me, God's promise to me has been fulfilled. I've seen him. I can die happy. Why? Because he knew the Christ had come. The Christ who came to redeem his people from the sins had come. And he was the one in whom Simeon's faith was. So he heard, really by a revelation of the Holy Spirit. And then next we read about this other woman by the name of Anna. She was an elderly lady of 84. And what was her reaction? Well, it says when she saw him, she did two things. She gave thanks to God, and then she went about Jerusalem telling everyone she knew that was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That is to say, all those people she knew of who, like Simeon and like herself, knew from the word of God and by a revelation of the Holy Spirit that the birth of the Saviour was drawing near, those people she told. She went about telling all of them. So she gave thanks, and then she sought out other people to tell. And then, of course, we come to that passage in Matthew chapter 2 that I read. And here we've got these wise men who came from the east. How did they find out? Well, do you know, that's an interesting one. Because, you know, when you just read the scriptures, it sounds like, no, these are just stargazers. Of course, there's much more to it than that. And I'm not planning this morning on giving a long kind of exposition. But let's just say this. These were people who believe that sometimes there is significance in astronomical phenomena, let's put it that way. And God arrested their attention by causing some kind of astronomical phenomena, a star to appear that was clearly outstanding. It was clearly different than what they saw on a daily basis. And that arrested their attention. And according to their beliefs, it signified the fact that somewhere in the world, somebody great had been born, possibly a king. And so it's my belief, I'm not sure I can prove this, probably I can't, but it's my contention, they were probably from Babylon or Persia or somewhere like that, and when they saw that star appear, it caused them to try and discover from somewhere who or what that did signify. And it would be my contention that living where they lived, they had access to the writings of various religions and they sought through them until they discovered in a book in the Old Testament, our Old Testament scriptures, in the Jewish scriptures, in the book of Daniel, they discovered a prophecy that announced the timing of the birth of Christ, and so putting that together with the astronomical phenomena that God had given to arrest their attention, they realized that this signified the birth of the Messiah of Israel, the Christ of God. And so, having understood that, their response was, they came to seek him for themselves. And so they travelled many, many miles and they came to the land of Israel. And when finally they're directed to him, and incidentally, in between their setting off from their own country and their arrival at the place where the child Jesus was, they've been to Herod, and Herod has summoned the people who were supposed to be experts in the scriptures, and they've determined from the word of God the whereabouts of his birth. And so they've gone to Bethlehem. So they've had a revelation from the word of God, these men. And they come and they find Christ. What did they do then? They gave him gifts. They gave to him their gifts. Okay? So that's the wise men. They did two things. They sought him. And then having found him, they gave him gifts. And then lastly, we've got this man, Herod. Now I put it to you that Herod was an extremely fortunate man, which perhaps sounds like an odd thing to say of somebody who did such evil, but he was a fortunate man. Why do I say that? I say that for this reason. God was generous enough to give that man Herod some information about the birth of the Christ. First of all, these wise men came and they said, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews?" So he heard it from them. Of course, he didn't know. So then he called for certain scribes, certain students of the scriptures, and asked them, when the Christ of Israel, when the Messiah is born, where is he supposed to be born according to the word of God? Is there any indication? And they said, "Well, that's easy. It's there in the book of Micah. Bethlehem, everybody knows that." So he had help from people who knew the Bible, and he had information from the scriptures themselves. Okay? So he's got it from the wise men, he's got it from the scribes, he's got it from the word of God. So what was his response? "I will not have that child, that man, to reign over me." And he rejected him. Indeed, not only did he reject him, but he had every baby boy up to the age of two killed in an effort to make sure as he possibly could that the Christ was dead. Various people who all got to hear in different ways, according to the goodness of God, that the Christ had been born. So, we, in this room this morning, have all heard. We've all heard that the Christ of God is born. Jesus, the Saviour of the world, has come. So what is your reaction? What is your response to that. I trust today that your response will be, first of all, like Mary's, that you'll ponder these things in your heart. Think, meditate thoroughly and deeply on these things. So many things that you can hear in the course of a day. Sometimes things that seem important, and then come tomorrow, they mean nothing anymore. It's gone. But this isn't just important, this is all important. And I trust that you will give some time to ponder these things in your heart. Think thoroughly, think deeply upon this. The Christ of God has come. He's come. I trust today that our response will be like those shepherds and like those wise men who, when they'd heard, they went to seek him for themselves. They weren't content just to hear about it and say, oh, that's nice. Yeah, Christ of God has been born. Hey, Messiah of Israel. Well, good news that, eh? No, they didn't leave it at that. They went to seek him for themselves. And I trust you'll do that. If you've heard, well, hearing alone is useless. In fact, if you hear and don't do, it's worse than not hearing at all. Because God's given you the privilege of hearing something that is all important. So I trust that we'll ponder these things in our hearts and we'll do what the shepherds did and the wise men, and that we'll seek after him for ourselves. I trust that, like those people who the shepherds told, when we ponder these things, that we'll marvel. People marvel at some daft things, don't they? Don't think. The latest special effects that come out of Hollywood, you know, the latest version of, iPods that come out, or whatever it is, the latest technology. They marvel at it. All right. I don't belittle in any of that. But there's nothing compares with this. The eternal Son of the living God took upon himself human flesh. Imagine that. The eternal Son of the living God entered the womb of a virgin and was born. A human child. Fully human, but fully God at the same time. And that one grew. He entered the world sinless. He lived a sinless and perfect life. And then he laid down his life as a sin offering, so that our sin, the sin that spoils our lives and separates us from God, that it might be dealt with in a just and righteous way that satisfies God, the righteous judge, for us. And then, having died, he rose again on the third day, and he's alive today. And furthermore, he's coming again with power and great glory. I trust that we'll marvel about that. I trust that, like Simeon of old, having come to faith in Christ, we'll be able to say to ourselves, well, I can die happy now. And if anybody thinks that's a morbid thought, do you know what? It isn't. It isn't. Because one day, that event faces us all. And the sad thing is that I dare say the majority of people face it with horror, with fear, but to know Christ is to actually have the fear of death and judgment and all those things taken away. Simeon could die happy. I don't know, but I want to die happy whenever that event comes along, don't you? And there's only one way a man can, and that is by being saved. And the only person that can save us is the Lord Jesus. I trust that we'll be like those wise men who, when they found him, they gave him gifts. I mean, there's nothing we could give that remotely compares with the greatness of preciousness of the gift that God has given us. But we can give him something, you know. You know that? You can give him something. And I put it to you that if you really find him, like those wise men did, you will give him this. your life as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him. And I trust that if all that's true of us, we've pondered him in our hearts, if we've sought him, if we've found him, if we've given him our life, then like those shepherds and like Anna the prophetess, we'll want to go and tell others too. We'll want others to know. It's my prayer that there is not one person in this room today in whom the spirit of Herod dwells and remains. That is to say, one who is a Christ hater, one who is a Christ rejecter. Indeed, if there's anybody here today and that's what you are now, then do you know what? You're here today so that you can hear of God's love for you, that God demonstrated his love towards us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ came and died for us. That's what you're here for. Why were those shepherds, those particular shepherds, why did they happen to be on that hill at that particular time? Because they were the ones to whom the angel came. Why did God arrest the attention of those wise men in the east? Why them particular? Because they were the ones to whom God was revealing it at that particular point in time. Why Simeon? Why Anna? Why any of these people? Because they were the ones who at that particular time and in a particular way God revealed his word to them. And you are here today for the self same reason. Don't let one inch of the spirit of Herod remain in you, but repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's the gospel. And that's the message we preach. And that's a message I'm still marvelling at it, frankly, if I'm being honest with you. I'm still marvelling at it. Can't get enough of it. I don't know how many times in my life I've read them passages, but they don't lose anything in the telling. They don't lose any of the glory and the significance. In fact, the older I get, the better it gets. And that's the way of things with the Lord. So, amen. So I wish you all a very, very happy day today. Hey, I'm good as my word today, aren't I? We're nearly done by 12, just in time for one more song. I wish you a happy day, a good day, lots of magic moments, lots of magic moments today for all of us. Nice food, nice company, but above all, let's take time to ponder him in our hearts.
Let's close with my favourite Christmas carol, always, the Herald the Angels sing. Let's stand and sing.